has joined.
Good morning, Shavua Tov. Is it just you?
I think so. I heard one other, but I think it was you, so.
Were you listening to music?
Okay, someone else is on, so that answers the question.
Good morning, Malcolm.
Good morning.
Gabriella.
Has joined.
Good morning.
Shavua Tov.
Has joined.
Good morning, all. Shavua Tov. We will begin our study of Parashat Ekev today. The first Aliyah begins at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12, and completes at chapter 8, verse 10. This is a total of 25 verses. The number 25 is a stage of completion, since it is 5 times 5. Verse 12. After our L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bidhilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu le'akta l'shem yudhe bavavhe le'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'sok Torah
mitzvah. Has joined.
Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kononei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kononeihu. V'haya ekev tishmeun et ha-mishpatim ha-eile u'shmartem wa'asitem otam v'shamar Adonai.
Yo,
Ota Avot et Eloheihem Kimokesh Ulach Kitomar Bilvavcha Rabim Hajoim Haile Mimeni Eka Ukol Chorisham Lo Tira Mehem Zahor Tiskoret Asher Asa Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo Aheda Wanu Heyo Elohecha Lefaro Ukal Mitzrayim Hamasod Hajedolot Asherau Enecha Wehaotot Vehamoschitim Vehayad Ahazaka Vehazroa Hantuya Asher Hotziacha Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yoaheda Wanuhe Yo Elohecha Ken Yaase Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yoaheda Wanuhe Yo Elohecha Lekol Ha'amim Asher Ata Yare Mifnechem Wagam Ed Hatsira Yishalach Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yoaheda Wanuhe Yo Elohecha Bam Adavod Anisharim Vehanistarim Mipanecha Lotarot Mifnechem Ki Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yoaheda Wanuhe Yo Elohecha bekirbecha al jado v'nora v'nashal Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohaheda wanu heyo Elohecha ed hajoim ha'el Mipanecha me'at me'at lo tu kal kalotam maher pen tirbe alecha hayad hasade untanam Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yoaheda wanu heyo Elohecha lefanecha v'hamam mehuma gedola ad hashamdam v'natan malkechem v'yadecha v'ha'avata et shemam mitachat ha'shamayim Lo yitayetzev ish befanecha ad hishmitcha otam Tesilei Elohechem tishrefun ba'esh lo tachmod kesef v'zahav aleichem v'lakachta lach Ten tiwakesh bo kito avat Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yoaheda Avi. Tavi yoto eva el betecha lehaita cherem kamohu shaket teshachtenu v'ta'ev teta'avenu ki cherem hu kol ha-mitzvah Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom tishmerun la'asot lema'an tichyun urvitem. Uvatem virishtem et ha'aretz Asher nishba Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo Yohewahe Dawandu heyo La avotehem Vizakarta Et kol Aderech Asher Holicha Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo yo aheda wandu heyo Elohecha ze arbaim Shana bamidbar Lema'an anotcha Lenasotcha lada'at Et asher bilvavcha Atishmor Mitzvotav im lo vayancha yat vayarivecha vayakilcha et haman asher lo yadata velo yadun avotecha lema'an hodiacha ki lo al halechem levado yihye ha'adam ki al kol motza fi adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohahe dawanu heyo Yeh Adam Simlacha Lo Valta Me'alecha V'raglecha Lo Betzeka Ze Arbaim Shana V'yadata Im Levavecha Ki ka'asher yeyaser ish et b'no Adonai Yohewahe adanu yo Yohahe dawandu heyo Elohecha meyasrecha v'shamarta et mitzvot Adonai Yohewahe Adanu yo, yo aheda wanu heyo, Elohecha lalechet bidrakav uyira oto, ki Adonai Yohewahe, Adanu yo, yo aheda wanu heyo. Elohecha mevi'acha el eretz tova ash eretz nachale ma'im ayanot utchomot yotzim babika uvahar eretz chita usora Wegefen ut ena, the Rimon Et asher lo b'mizkaya nut tokal ba lechem lo techtzar kol ba eretz asher avaneha barzel umei harareha tachto nechoshet. We are called the Sabbata, Uve Rachta et Adonai, Yo He Wahe Adatnu Yo, Yo Yo Ahe Dawanu He Yo, Eloheha Al Haret, Atova. Asher Natan Lach. That's the end of the Hebrew reading. Now for the English translation. I did notice that many of these verses were extensive, very, very wordy. Verse 12, and it will be because you will need these ordinances and keep them and perform that the Hashem your God will keep for you the covenant and the kindness that he swore to your forefathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your soil, your grain, your wine, and your oil, the offspring of your cattle and the choice of your flocks, in the land which he swore to your forefathers to give you. What's the difference between multiply you and bless the fruit of your womb? There is a difference. It's one thing to just continue to have children and grow your population. It's another to receive a blessing on your children. It's another to recognize that there is less problems, physical problems, when you bless the fruit of the womb as opposed to Chas v'shalom miscarriages. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There will be no sterile male or barren female among you or among your livestock. And Hashem will remove from you all illness and all of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you knew. He will not set upon you, but he will lay them upon all your enemies. And you shall consume all the peoples which Hashem your God gives you. You shall not spare them, nor shall you worship their gods, for that will be a snare for you. Will you say to yourself, these nations are more numerous than I? How will I be able to drive them out? You shall not fear them. You shall surely remember what Hashem your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. The great trials that your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, and the outstretched arm with which Hashem your God brought you out, so will Hashem your God do to all the peoples you fear. And also the Tzira, the Lord, your God, Hashem your God, will incite against them until the survivors and those who hide from you perish. The word Sirah obviously is difficult to translate. The Tzira, the Shoresh is, or at least it's similar, I think it's the Shoresh of Tzarat. Tzarat is that spiritual disease that we've labeled in the translation from the church who couldn't translate it. We related it as a skin disease called leprosy. But it's actually a spiritual disease, and its major cause is Lashon Hara. Now, with that understanding, Hashem is going to incite against any people, any person who is speaking Lashon Hara about Hashem, about you, Jewish people, all of that. And ultimately, the survivors and those who hide from you will perish. You shall not be terrified of them, for Hashem your God, who is in your midst, is a great and awesome God. And Hashem your God will drive out those nations from before you, little by little. You will not be able to destroy them quickly, lest the beasts of the field outnumber you. But Hashem your God will deliver them to you, and he will confound them with great confusion until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, and you will destroy their name from beneath the heavens. No man will be able to stand up before you until you have destroyed them. Obviously, this is not what happened, and it's still not happening. The graven images of their gods you will burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is upon them, and take it for yourself, lest you be ensnared by it. For it is an abomination to Hashem your God. Nor should you bring an abomination into your house, lest you are to be destroyed like it. But you shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is to be destroyed. So, what's the definition of an abomination? I saw a commentary this morning on this verse. The abomination, there's a verse in Mishlei. Actually, I can probably read the whole thing to you. It's very short. Nor should you bring an abomination into your house. Verse 26, chapter 7, that we just read. The verse teaches us, noted Rabbi Levi Yitzhak of Berdichev, just how despicable the trait of arrogance truly is. It is so abhorred that one is forbidden to even allow a haughty individual to enter his home. We learn this from a verse in Mishlei in Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 5. Every haughty heart is the abomination of Hashem. We see, therefore, that a haughty individual is referred to as an abomination, about which our verse explicitly states, and you must not bring an abomination into your home. An arrogant individual. That's the definition of abomination. This is a comment, teaching by Rabbi Y. Bronstein. We will return to the reading. Chapter 8, verse 1. Every mitzvah that I command you this day, you shall keep to do, that you may live and multiply, and come and possess the land that the Hashem swore to your forefathers. And you shall remember the entire way on which Hashem your God led you these 40 years in the desert, in order to afflict you, to test you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his mitzvot or not. And he afflicted you and let you go hungry, and then fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your forefathers know, so that he would make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but rather by whatever comes forth from the mouth of Hashem does man live. This verse is unique. Not unique in that sense, but it's extremely special, because it's describing the essence of Hashem, as the beginning verses in Genesis say. Hashem said, let there be light, and there was light. Our verse number 3 in this Aliyah is saying what comes out of the mouth of Hashem is what it keeps us alive. This is a hint to the constant recreation of the world, of the universe, of ourselves. As our sages teach, every instant, Hashem recreates the world, recreates everything in it, which includes us. Verse 4, your clothing did not wear out upon you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You shall know in your heart that just as a man chastises his son, so does Hashem your God chastise you. And we need to strive to recognize when we are being chastised in order to return to Hashem. We have to appreciate that chastisement. It's a very difficult concept, but that's what the spiritual path is all about. And you shall keep the mitzvot of Hashem, your God, to go in his ways and to fear him, to have awe of him. For Hashem your God is bringing you to a good land, a land with brooks of water, fountains, and depths that emerge in valleys and mountains, a land of wheat and barley, vines and figs, and pomegranates, a land of oil producing olives and honey. These are the seven species of the Israel. Wheat, barley, vines, figs, pomegranates, olives, and honey. It's referring to date honey, not to the bee honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. You will lack nothing in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of those whose mountains you will hew copper. You will eat and be sated, and you shall bless Hashem your God for the good land he has given you. Do you think you can substitute good life for the term good land? That's the completion. I just want to make one comment. The word that's used for the good land, or for the, is Haaretz. Its small gematria is 17. And 17 is the connection where you can substitute good land for good life, or good life for good land. Are there any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Sometimes the Hebrews, Israelites, would take the spoils of their quest. Sometimes they would not, due to Hashem's direction. And you were just speaking about, do not take their gold, do not take their silver because of their arrogance. So, because of a people, they're robbed, I guess. I guess you could use that as another description. So my question is that some of the quests, they did take all their spoils. Some they didn't touch. We were not supposed to touch or bring into their camps. Can you kind of maybe give me a little bit more insight as to why? I know the peoples of certain territories were evil, if you want to say that.
I'm not sure that I really have accurate information, but here's my insight. Here's my opinion. Many times Moses commanded the people to destroy everything, and other times he did not. And I perceive this as a relationship to the peoples using idol worship. When it said the gold and silver in this aliyah, that it's an abomination, he uses the same words in with respect to idol worship. And what do people do with their gold and their silver? They form ornaments that they worship. They form ornaments that will draw them, that is some connection to their God. This is true of even today. It's even true in a mezuzah that somebody wears around their head or their, you know. Is there a scroll in that mezuzah? There's usually a printed, but it's not a parchment that's put into that. So it, what is the purpose of that? It may have started because they thought that will be a protection, and that's idol worship, because only Hashem is your protection, not the tools that he has given us. Yes, a mezuzah protects your home, but it's not designed to protect your body. There are other people who wear gold and silver stars of David, Magen David. Yes, Magen means a shield. It was the shield of David. And yes, it is a glyph of the tree of life, the six-pointed star with the seventh in the middle. It is a connection to the tree of life. But is it a protection that will protect a human being from going, doing the negative actions that will then have negative consequences, negative effects? That's my opinion, that it has to do with idol worship.
Okay.
Are there any other questions or thoughts or comments? The next class at 10:30 will begin our preparation for the Tishrei holidays. And there will not be a class this afternoon at our 3 o'clock class, as I mentioned earlier. I also, before we leave, please join me in saying the Ma meditation. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wah. Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey. You all have a beautiful week. Shavua Tov to all.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom.